thank you for this time together. Thank you for the fact that, as we heard the last hour, we do have the Spirit of God, and that you, our Father, and the Son sent him. And the Son said it was expedient for him to go away, and or the Holy Spirit would not come. So we thank you that when he went away, he asked you, and you sent with him the Spirit of God. And so that, as we heard in the last hour, we have a potential, we have an ability to know the things from the Scripture that we can direct the fruit of the Spirit to when applicable, or we can occupy our mind with these things of the Scripture, and we can mature, we can grow. And so thank you, our Father, for this time together. Thank you for the Word of God, that we're not sitting here just turning our wheels, trying to come up with something, but that you have provided, you prepared these things for us. And so we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. We're in Ephesians chapter 2. We've been slowly going through the first few verses. And if you know me long enough, it doesn't matter how long I take. I know sometimes I'm thinking of one man right now who makes fun of me because I go so slow through the Scriptures, but it doesn't bother me. I really don't care if he makes fun of me. I take as long as the Spirit of God wants, and I'm not in any rush. And if we don't finish it, and I'm still speaking, and the rapture takes place, well, praise God. When we're going up, you're saying, are you still talking? But I won't be. I probably won't be. Unless I'm just saying, oh my. it's okay. We just go and go at our own pace, and I'm not in any rush. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, and you who were dead by trespasses and sins, we already covered this. This is looking at what caused spiritual death. They weren't physically dead, but they were spiritually dead at one time. And what caused their spiritual death, these are distributive plurals, was their trespass in Adam, and the fact that from their parents, from Adam on, through procreation, propagation, they got a sin nature. And so they were spiritually dead because of the trespass in Adam and the fact that they possessed a sin nature. Wherein in time past, where at that time, wherein at that time, while possessing a sin nature, they walked, they had a lifestyle. How do you get a lifestyle? You ordered the activities of your life in a certain pattern. And so while they were spiritually dead, they ordered the activities of their life in a pattern that was their lifestyle. So their lifestyle, and this is where we were last time, we were developing the second verse, in their lifestyle that they had, that they ordered the activities of their life, spiritually dead, separated from God, they ordered the activities of their life, kata, according to something. Kata means it comes down from, it's according to. So their walk of life, their style, their walk, was kata, measured by, according to, came down from something else. If you look at a Greek text, Greek grammar, it'll tell you kata always looks at according to, coming down from. You can think of it an escalator, coming down. Laverne Schaefer used to say that this walk came down from this, it was measured by this. That's what he liked to say, measured by this. So it was measured by something else. What was it measured by? It was measured by, not a good translation. It was measured by the course. The course is not a good translation. You should have corrected that by now. If not, this is your opportunity. The age. You walked, your choices, your lifestyle was measured by the age. This is the present evil age. It's an age, and we went through this last week. I do want to clarify something. There was a good question that was asked to me. We covered the age. We went through a lot of scriptures. We looked at the characteristics of this age. This age had a disputer. Now, when I stated last week that the disputer means it's somebody who disputes, he questions, And I mentioned to you, and evidently I didn't tie it all together very well. We say, thus saith the Lord. We base that on 2 Timothy. All scripture is God-breathed. All that has a quality of a scripture is as to its quality God-breathed. This is the very breath of God. It's the outbreathing of God. It's God's word. So we can herald with authority. We can handle the word of God, and we can herald with authority. We can say that what? Thus saith the Lord. We don't sit there and debate. We don't sit and argue. We say, hey, here it is. It stands written. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on earth in talking, we mentioned that last week, he said, the scriptures cannot be broken. That word broken means losing any of its binding authority. It can't be loosed. It can't lose any of its binding authority. It's God's word. It's God said what he meant. He meant what he said. And we sit here and we say, thus saith the Lord. Now, what does a dispute of the age do? They don't like absolutes. Let me tie it together. The disputer of the age, what do they dispute? They don't dispute everything. They like variety. They like to go around and have classrooms or church services where they'll go, okay, Sister Teresa, how did your week go? What do you think? How do you think about that scripture over there? Wow, that's really meaningful. Here God has spoken to Sister Teresa's heart, and that's what she does. Oh, let's look over here to Brother Dan. Brother Dan, let's look at the same verse that Teresa just had. How did that, what did that verse have any input, any influence on you this week? And then he says, oh yeah, this is what it meant to me. I was just inspired, which is totally erroneous, totally idiotic. But he's going to sit there, and not that you are. No, I'm just using the illustration. But he'll sit and say, this is what that scripture meant to me this week. It'd be completely the opposite of what Sister Teresa said. Okay? But that's what will go on. My son was exactly in that before he came up to Valley. Him and your son-in-law, Tim Mason. Both of them were attending a Baptist church up at Oregon State. They were going to the Baptist church. One of the professors was teaching the class. They sat in it. He did exactly what I just said to you. Exactly. You can ask my son, Tim. Those two young men, I don't know which one did it. Maybe both. They raise their hand in the class and they'll say, the scripture says this. And they point it out. This is what it says. Thus saith the Lord. They'll tell you, the professor walked around the room, came around, stood behind them, and he went, this is what I love. Now we'll have some good debate. He just didn't want to hear absolutes. He loved the relativity. The disputer of the age wants the relativity. They think that by through this disputation, this looking at everything, that that's how you mature. That's how you grow. What does the verse mean to you? What does the verse mean to you? But if you stand up and you say, it doesn't matter what the verse means to you. It matters what God says. And this is what he says. I wanted to be clear about that because evidently I wasn't last week. Then they're going to take issue with you. They're going to take issue with you. Because this age that the unsaved person, including Christians, before they saved, they had a lifestyle that was measured by this age. And one of the characteristics of this age is no absolutes. Do you remember I said that last week? No absolutes. That through variety, through discussion, through personal experience, we grow. God doesn't have it that way. So we saw that this age has a God, so it's religious. This age has a God. This age has a disputer. This age has its own wisdom. Wisdom is how you take your knowledge and apply it to a situation where you're going to gain or benefit. This age has its own source of wisdom in that religious realm of how a person is going to benefit. And it is, Paul said, this is all review. Paul said it was contrary to the wisdom of God, which our brother Schaefer just went through the last hour, that the wisdom of God is that through a spiritual Christian, through the mysteries, which is New Testament revelation that you're not going to find in the Old Testament, through these New Testament Pauline mysteries is going to be maturity. Through understanding when you're spiritual, being taught of the Spirit, you learn those mysteries. By the Spirit, you apply those mysteries, and as you direct the fruit of the Spirit when applicable in those mysteries, you're going to grow. That's the wisdom of God. The wisdom of this age is that through disputation, relativity, through its own wisdom, under the God of this age, people grow. And then what is their lifestyle that they form? We covered that last week. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Now, that form of godliness, it's because I mentioned we're going to transition into the world. We'll say this. That form of godliness, when you look around the world system and you see the different religions, they all have a kind of system of righteousness to a relative sense, relatively. So they'll say, don't steal. Don't get caught being an adulteress. Don't be caught stealing. Don't murder your own kind. But you understand what I'm saying. They have a kind of righteousness that's relative on many of these things about not murdering, not getting drunk unless it's a certain way. So it's okay to get drunk at the country club, but it's not okay to get drunk in the gutter. All right? So you got these different things here that are in the religions. But they have a kind of righteousness, a quality of righteousness that's in there. Paul stated, I don't want to have my own righteousness. Okay? He wanted to have the one that was imputed in Christ. He wanted to be found in that. I'm getting off the case. But here you're seeing this age has religiosity under a God that has relative truth, doesn't want absolutes, thus saith the Lord. Let's say the absolutes of the Word of God, doesn't want to have that, and will dispute through relativity, and has its own wisdom through all of this on how to mature and how to grow in this. Now, it says, of the age, we were doing that last week, it says, we walked according to, measured by, the age of the quality of the world. Or this world. Now, he relates that the age and the world system, they're not the same, but they have some kind of quality that's related. They're two different entities, but they're related. They're related a couple of ways. One way they're related is they both have the same leaders. The age is directed by its God, little g. The little g god of the age is Satan. The prince and power of the air, the ruler of the world system, is Satan. So they have the head one, the chief one, that is over and directing the age, and the chief one, by the way, ultimately in the age, God's allowing it to show something that Satan in his religiosity in here is completely opposite to what God is doing. Okay. So the world system, which is basically everything society, all of the governments, the religions, all of that that goes on here, this world system, this age and the world have quality, this age has a quality of this world system. Well, what's in the world system? The world system has religions. it has religions, and the other thing that the world system has, in its world system religions, it has rules, laws, commandments. It's called in Galatians the elements. And that word elements, we're going to look at all this. I got to prove all this. We're going to go to these passages. The elements of the world system, the word elements means the first principle upon which something is built. That's what the Greek word element means. That's why we got the elementary chart and they put gold, silver, and all of that. That's what they believed when they made the elementary chart. They used that Greek word and it meant that's the rudimentary first principles that make up all things. They didn't understand about protons and electrons and all this other stuff. But they said the elementary chart, the elements, they said were the basic first principles of which something is built. That's what the world system. The world system has a rudimentary first principle systems upon the world system is built. And what is it? Well, there's a popular song that goes around and says, what makes the world go round? Love. Yeah, love makes the world go round. But that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says the first principles of the world system is legalism. Legalism. Whether it's in governments, whether it's in religion, it's legalism to try to regulate the sin nature of man. And that's what gets the world going around. And who's over it? The ruler of this world is Satan, and he rules it through demons. Okay, so it says the age of the quality of this world. So on your notes, I put the quality, a genitive of quality is how I interpret this, of this world system. Now, what I want to point out is Paul says it's of the world or this world. Now, what I wanted to point out is that there's one world system under Satan, but it's had two phases, and we could split it into two worlds. What's the key event that happened in human history that divides the two phases or the two world systems? The flood. Exactly right. There were two completely developed world systems. I do read, I don't do it very much now, but I did. I used to read quite a bit on artifacts and archaeology and what they were digging up. And boy, it is amazing how many artifacts that they have hidden in museums that they don't tell you about. You have to search and read them out. And they keep them and they don't tell you about them is because they don't know what to do with them. Now, when you understand there was a whole world system that was destroyed by the flood, it makes sense to us. So I don't get all bent out of shape when they go and discover batteries in the Gobi Desert. By the way, they have. There's other artifacts they find. They don't understand. By the way, they're really beginning to look at Egyptian hieroglyphics now and the pictures that are in these tombs, and they're baffled by them, and they're baffled by another point. They're baffled by the fact that the pictures depict illumination almost like light bulbs. And what they don't understand is that when they go in these tombs, they don't find carbon soot in the tombs. Now, either they cleaned them super, super well, or they didn't illuminate them with fire. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. But these are the things I read. You read about these. They don't publicize them. They certainly don't teach them at school. They don't go into this stuff. Why? Because it breaks everybody's bubble, and they don't trust people to know these facts. So they hide them in museums. Okay, the world system, there was two world systems, two phases, two world systems. They are not all identical. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Here Peter writes, and spared not the old world. In the Greek there, that word old means ancient, archaic. It's the word where we get archaeology from. It's the ancient world, the old world. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So here was an ancient world system, the one that developed from Cain on. We go back to Genesis chapter 4, and we could see that the world system was developed by Satan. We find it there after Cain slew Abel. By the way, you don't understand what was going on in the slaying of Cain and Abel unless you read 1 John. You cannot know what really went on there and that Satan was working there. He was working. And that Cain also was working in a Poneros evil. But you get that from 1 John. That's another story. So in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, we find this mentioned also. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, it says, whereby the world that then was, do you see that? It says, whereby the world that, well, let's go back to verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water, and in the water, or through the water. So he talks about two universal floods here. He's talking about Genesis chapter 1 where the land comes up out of the water, and he's talking about the Noahic flood where the land comes through the flood, the water. And he says they're willingly ignorant of these things. They can see the facts, but they're willingly ignorant that God does judge in human history. Now let's go on and look at verse 6. Whereby the world that then was, so through the water where the earth was flooded over in the water, whereby the world that then was, the world that then at that time was, being overflowed with water, perished. So the world system that then was, the ancient world which Peter talks about at that time, it perished. It was gone. It was perished. Let me see if I get here. Just thought of something. Yeah, apoleto. It was ruined for its intended purpose. It was perished from its original intended purpose. So Satan had a purpose for that world system. God destroyed it by a flood, and his intentions for it went washed away with the water. It was thrown out with the water. So here we have the fact that there was two world systems. Back to Ephesians chapter 2. It says here that we all, he's talking to Christians, had a lifestyle that was according to the now, this present world system. Now, why am I bringing this up? I'm not going to develop all of this here. It's not my purpose in this class. But Satan changes his modus operandi. He changes what he's doing in response to God's changes. And so the world system that then was, we heard about a world of an ungodly. Ungodly back then is a little different than what ungodly in the unsaved people of what Satan's doing in people now in the world system. That's all I wanted to point out. So there's two different world systems, and what Satan is doing, he has changed. So what he did back then in the old world system is not necessarily identical to what he's doing now. Why? Because God has changed what he's doing through his people. And his people today is the church is the people of God today. He's not dealing with Jews. He's not dealing with the others. You got the nations, the Jews, the church, Israel, the church. He's dealing with the church. And the church, God has given better things to. And when he is trying to control the sin nature of unsaved man, we're going to get to this. And as he does this, he has a age wisdom, and he has the world system with its religions that are developed in such a way to mimic, to duplicate, to distract, and to persecute true godliness. So he has a form of godliness in this present world system with this age that's for this dispensation as God is dealing with the church. And he is using, we're going to see, unsaved men who are energized by him in this world system to affect the lifestyle of unbelievers. Now, why is he bringing this all up in Ephesians? We mentioned it quickly last week because he's pointing out, he went to the first chapter of the exalted position we have in Christ. He's now going through what Christians were before they were saved and how they ordered their lifestyle. And what he's going to contrast in a later chapter of Ephesians is God saved you from these things. He saved you by grace through faith. You need to also, as we heard in the last hour, be living under grace and directing faith, being spiritual. And you don't, God saved you from this. You don't go back to this kind of lifestyle. Were some of them going back to these things? And the answer is yes. But we were in Peter. Why don't we go there again? Go back to 2 Peter. Paul's saying it kind of a nice way. He's going to tell them to awake out of the graveyard and stop acting like dead people. He's going to tell them that they once were darkness, but now they're light in the Lord. Walk as children. Order the lifestyle that you have as children of light, born ones of light. He's going to look at all that. Now, Peter has a different way of saying it. Look at 2 Peter. I think it's 2 Peter. Verse 20. Oh, you want to know a chapter? Chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 20. I just turned and flipped because I thought I remembered this is where it was on the page. So anyway, it says in 2:20, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in it and overcome, the later end is worse than when the beginning. For it had been better for them to have known the way of righteousness, to not have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it to turn unto the then turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." But it, now this is the verse I wanted. This is the punch. This is the way Peter says it. "But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to the wallowing in the mire." So there's Peter's way of saying it. Christians can go back to eating their own vomit. Wallowing in the mire. Paul is developing here very eloquently. He's telling them, this is what you were saved from. This is what you used to be. He's going to get in the third and fourth chapter and start telling them, stop doing what you're doing. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Stop living like you're in a graveyard. So he's developing this to these Christians who were turning their back. So now, back to this. They walked according, they had a lifestyle according to the age that was of the quality of this world system. So the world system is number two on your notes. World system is Satan's ordered system of non-elect beings. And it was designed by Satan to attempt a regulation of the sin nature of his children and oppose God by distracting God's children. There's a lot there. I have in your notes Galatians 1:4. That's the evil age. Let's go there. And then I want you to look at 4:4 in comparison. And here you have the two related also. But in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, I didn't put the other verses. Human error. Galatians 1:4 says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God our Father. Now with that, turn over to chapter 4, verse 4, which I didn't type in your notes. I jumped over it. 4, verse 4, he's talking to them, and he's talking about Jews. And he says of the Jews, verse 1, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. He's using a human comparison of how a son, even though he's the rich lord, he's going to be the potential heir of everything, yet he's under tutors and governors. He's under ones who train him and teach him, and they can chasten him until his father designates a time. And we're going to come to a good Christmas card verse here. Even so, when we Jews were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. There's what I said to you earlier. He's telling the Jews that they were under bondage, they were enslaved to the first principles that operate in the world, the first principles that make the world system operate correctly. But, verse 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, here's your Christmas card verse, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, not made, coming to be out of a woman, coming to be under the law. Why? Why did he do that? Now, what's the fullness of the time that's here? This is the time where God the Father said the Jews who are under law, under tutors and governors, it's a time when he's going to elevate them out of that place. Now, what he's ultimately looking at is the placement into the body of Christ. He's going to get to this later on. You see, the Gentiles were not under law. They could have been placed in the body of Christ. But the Jews, being under law, had to be redeemed out from the law in order to be placed as a son in Christ. As long as they were under the law, they were as children. And as long as they were children, they could not be placed in Christ as sons. So the fullness of the time is when God had said, it's enough already under law. It's time to redeem the Jews out from the law. The example has been set. No one can please God by fulfilling the law. They can't do it because of the weakness of the sin nature. And he's now going to begin to place people into Christ through the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit. The Jews could not be placed into Christ until the law, they were redeemed from the law. The fullness of the time is the time set by God the Father to take the Jews out from under the law. So, yeah, law. It's a quality of law. So it's any quality of law. I'm not developing all of that, but that's a good point. In the book of Galatians, what Steve is bringing up is in the book of Galatians, and I didn't want to get too much of this, but in the book of Galatians, you have the law. You have a quality of law. The law of Moses was given by God, and it's specific, and it's what God put under the Jews. What did the Jews do in the world system to the Mosaic law? They took the law of Moses, and they made all of their kind of interpretations of it, and you have the Talmud. And so what Christ said when he was on earth, he was saying, why do you even, I'm paraphrasing, why do you negate the law by your, what's the word, huh?
By your traditions.
Their traditions, that's the word I wanted, their traditions. So they kept adding their traditions into their traditions until they have all of this Talmud, which is in the interpretations of the law. And by the way, I do have the Babylonian Talmud in my library. It takes up two shelves. It's ridiculous. Two shelves in my library. Have I read that? No. I started to, and I said, this is ridiculous. And what they do is, in there, they'll go to the law, and if the law says, you know, you kill somebody's cow, then you got to replace their cow or whatever is on there. Well, then they say, what they start doing in the Talmud is saying, okay, but what about if you kill a cow that has one eye? What if you kill a cow that's lame in one leg? What if you kill a cow that was calfing? What if the calf dies? What if the calf lives? You see, I'm exactly, but that's what it's full of. It's full of all of this stupidity where they go beyond the law and they make up all of these scenarios and all of these ways to get out. Huh?
Kosher.
Kosher. How to get out of it. How to get out of things. How to do this. How to get out of that. And they went and they developed all kinds of questions on where God, you know, so they. So I told you, the Babylonian Talmud is like, you know, this long. It's all these volumes. And all it is a bunch of garbage of the sin nature trying to get out from under the bondage of the law by their interpretation. So they make their own quality of law. And, boy, if you go into it and you look at it, it's almost, that's why when Christ, when they said you eat with unwashed hands, they didn't mean he was filthy, that he just got done cleaning out the barn and all of a sudden he's eating. That's not what they meant. You read the Talmud, and what they meant is that whenever you touch anything, you're touching stuff that has demons on it. And so you have demons on your hand. And if you eat and you don't clean them in a ceremonial way, you could ingest demons. So, yeah, what he's doing is over there, Richard's doing this. Yeah, they had to wash, and it had to drip off the elbow a certain way. It's all in the Talmud. You had to wash, and you had to wash so many times. You had to go, everybody watch, because that's what they did. Everybody watch. I'm doing this. Count with me, Sesame Street. 1, 2, 3. Okay, look at, see the drops coming off? I had enough water. See the drops coming off my elbows? That's exactly what they did. They're crazy. They were crazy. And so there's a quality of law. So yes, by taking this out, you're taking this out too. If you take out this and this is a quality of this, then you take it out. Yes, because in the world system, I don't want to get into it, but Romans talks about this too, how unsaved people will by nature have a quality, fulfill the righteousness. That's it, the righteousness. I think Romans says the righteousness that's in the law by making up things in the world. Don't kill each other off. Don't steal from each other. So you'll find, which was the culture? Was it Chinese? If you were stealing, they cut your hand off. Islam does that too, yeah. When we were over in Europe, I think it was St. Charles Bridge or something. They used to, they did this to actually Christians on that bridge. This is a horror story. It's most ridiculous. But over there in Prague, if you go on this bridge, there was a Husin. It was like an Anabaptist type of group, the Husins that were, the building's still there. You can see it. The Roman Catholics wanted it. So they took out all of these guys who were Anabaptists, who they didn't like anyway, and they cut their heads off, took their bodies, threw them over on ropes into the river, had them hanging there, and then put the heads on poles on the bridge so everybody could see. Then they took their property. And so it's a Roman Catholic church to this day. It's still there. But they took it from the Hussians or whatever they were. I think that's what that was their leader that they followed. He was the bishop, the pastor that they killed. You can see that. So they put examples of this. So anyway, they would take, that's where it was, in England. Over in London, you can see where they took and they cut heads off, and then they would put tar on the heads so that the birds wouldn't eat the flesh off too quick, and they would stick it on the bridge to let people know, if you do this, that's the penalty, and they would do it. So in the world system, there's qualities. By the way, you're squirming, but what was under the law? Death penalty for many of those things. So there is a quality in the world system of a quality of law that people do. So let's get back to Galatians chapter 4, verse 2. But when the fullness of the time was come, when the Jews will be redeemed out from under the law, God sent forth his Son, made to be under woman, made to be under the law, to redeem, to pay a sufficient price. This shows us, again, what I mentioned Sunday to many of you. There was more to the work of Christ than just saving sinners. And so here's one of the aspects of the work of the cross that goes beyond just saving men. So to redeem, or at least to pay a sufficient price, the ones that were under the law, the ones under a quality of law, in order that the placements of sons we might receive. That's we Jews. We Jews had to be taken out of a quality of law that was in the world system before they could be placed. That word adoption means to be placed as sons in Christ. God could not place the Jews into Christ by the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit until they were redeemed from under the law, because the law held them in bondage as children. Now, I wanted another verse here. Chapter 4, verse 9. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, why turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements wherein you desire again to be in bondage? These are the first principles of the world. Now, what are they? They're legalistic things. You observe days and months and times and years. These are all the regulations of these religious systems of a quality of law, the first principles that are in the world system. Why did I go here? I went here because it says before we were saved, we had a lifestyle. We had a walk that was according to this age. The age has a God. It has a wisdom. It has a form of godliness. It has all those things we discussed, that it is of the quality of this world system. What is it? It's this world system that now Satan has tweaked and adjusted a little bit because of Christianity. I'm talking about the genuine thing. Because, let's put it another way. Because of the church and the dispensation of grace and what God is doing at this time where he's displaying godliness. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the princes of this world, this world system, did not know that Christians, through these mysteries, could mature and show forth godliness. It says if they had known that, they would not have crucified the Lord of the previously mentioned glory. The glory that Christians can have displaying out godliness. They didn't know that. If they had known that, they wouldn't have done it. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So, Satan has adjusted this world system and what's going on because of what God is doing in this dispensation and showing genuine godliness. We do have regeneration. We do have a position in Christ. We can get our mind on things above. God the Holy Spirit can and will show forth produce the fruit of the Spirit in our life. He'll lead us. He'll direct us to show forth that and direct that fruit. So Satan has used this world system and its religions in many ways. One of the ways it does is to try to duplicate the things that God's doing. The second thing he does is he uses the world stress system to distract Christians. The third thing he does in a general attack is he persecutes genuine spiritual Christians. So he duplicates, he persecutes, he distracts. So this age that we used to order our life to was measured by an evil age, the present evil age under Satan, that is of the quality of the world system that's also under Satan, that is designed not to benefit the Christian. Now, you can see when he gets on later on, hey, what are you Ephesians doing? Why are you going back to this kind of lifestyle? That's what God saved you. It's completely contrary to what God wants to do and is doing. Okay. So he says back to Ephesians chapter 2. He says, you had a walk of life, a lifestyle that was measured by the age of the quality of this world system. Now he uses another kata. He says, this age of the quality of this world system is according to something else. Someone else who we've already mentioned is the head of these things. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons, not children, but the sons of disobedience, or completely unpersuadable. Completely unpersuadable. They will not. They're disobedient because they won't be convinced otherwise. Okay, so it says you're under satanic authority. You're under the ruler, the archonta, the first one, the chief one, the first one. Satan is the chief one of this age. We already looked at that. 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's called the god of this age. 2 Corinthians 4:4. But he's also called the ruler of the world system. The ruler of the world system, you can put there John 16:41. Turn there. Keep your finger here, but go to John 16:41. That doesn't sound right. 641. 1611. Oh, a King James Version. 1611. Okay. 1611. He says the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. In verse 11, of judgment, because the prince, the first one, the chief one of this world, is judged. So here he's here Satan is also the chief one. In 1430 also. Okay. 1430. Hereafter I will not talk much with you. Yep. For the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. Nothing in me. So Satan energized Judas and betrayed the Lord. And he's the chief one, the number one one, the chief, the head, the principal over this world system. Oh, I didn't go to, we should say this about the world system. I was going to look at it, I put in your notes, and I didn't turn there. Titus 2:12. Go there. You have, I wanted to go there because it's interesting. Titus Titus 2:12, he says, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all." Our brother Rich covered this the other day, sometime when he was speaking, "teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust." Now, why are worldly lusts separated from ungodliness? You have the two separated there. I have a thought on the matter, but here you have worldly lusts. He says, teaching us in order that denying, the word denying means to say no to. You say no to ungodliness. Now, certainly any lusts that come from Satan would be towards ungodliness. Any lusts that come from the flesh would be towards ungodliness. Now, why is the world system set apart from that? Because there are some things, desires that are in the world system that you can use as a Christian. And I think that's why it's set apart. Because different than Satan and different than the flesh, the world system is an enemy that we live in. We live in it, but we're not of it. We don't belong to it. But we can use it. And so, how you handle Satan and the flesh is different than how you handle the world system. And the world system is very, very dangerous. And the reason the world system is so dangerous is because here's an enemy that does have strong desires, that some of them you can actually use. But you have to distinguish how far you go, what you can use, and how far you use it, so you don't use it to its full end. So you say no to ungodliness and worldly lusts that are not beneficial for what God wants in your life, which would be to show forth godliness, to mature, etc. So here the world system is separated out, that we have to be very careful with it. But the unsaved person, so the Christian can utilize some things in the world system, but he's not to abuse them. But the unsaved person, based on Ephesians chapter 2, his whole lifestyle was measured by the age of the quality of this world, and then, as we said, which is according to Satan, not God, but Satan, who is the prince and power of the air. So back in Ephesians 2, it says, according to the prince and the power of the air. His authority in this age, his authority in this, over this quality of the world system of which this age is restricted to the air. That's where his authority lies. Now, Satan had bigger desires than that. In Isaiah, turn to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter, our time's up anyway. Isaiah 14, I don't know when I started, I didn't even look. But it's time for us to go home. Isaiah, huh? I got 5 more minutes? Oh, Therese says I got, she's my director. Yeah. No, not this. This. Okay. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Satan had bigger desires than the air. It says in verse 13, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend the plural heavens. I exalt my throne above the stars of God." I'm reading it as it is in the Hebrew. I also will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the uttermost parts of the north. his ambition was to go into the third of heaven and to place his throne up there above the heavens. That was his desire. But look at verse 12. Isaiah says in verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heavens?" So here, as Isaiah is looking at this, he is looking into the future. And as Isaiah writes this, the Holy Spirit's bearing him along. And the Holy Spirit bearing him along as he writes Scripture is looking to the future, and he's looking to, I believe it's the 12th chapter of Revelation. And in the 12th chapter of Revelation, there's going to be war in heaven, and Satan's going to be driven to the ground. So this verse in Isaiah 14 says, it goes and looks to the future, to Revelation chapter 12, where he's driven to the ground, but it goes back into eternity past, where the rebellion of Lucifer, when he desired in his heart to take his throne from earth and place it up above the heavens. Where we are today is in between. He had a desire to place his throne above the heavens. He's going to be driven to the ground in Revelation chapter 12, but where we are right now is he's the prince and the authority of the air. That's the first heaven. He wanted to be above all of the heavens. He's limited right now to the first heaven, and in the future, he's going to be driven to the earth in Revelation chapter 12. But right now, he is the prince and power. Now, that word power is the word authority. He is given authority to act. When you have authority, you have the privilege to act. I've used this illustration before. I have the ability. In my essence, I have a physical body. My physical body has things that it can do. It has a hands. It has muscles in these hands. They're not as good as they used to be, but they're there. It has teeth. It has a mouth. If I'm over at your house, I'm going to choose Barbara because she always doesn't like me to. So I'm over at her house, and I'm sitting in the living room talking with Richard, and all of a sudden my stomach starts growling. Now, I have an ability to get my body, if my mind says, get up, Orin, get your body over to her kitchen, raid her refrigerator. So I have the ability, I can do that. I have the ability. But what I don't have is what? I don't have the authority. I don't have the authority to... That would be power. No, I don't have, I would be doing what he did. I would be overpowering him usurping the power and authority. Okay. Satan has ability. What happened is we see, and I'm rushing because I knew I had, how much do I have now? Nothing? Zero? Okay. I put on here in your notes that I think I put here, yeah, this is a usurped authority. What happened is after Lucifer's fall, what he desired, he fell, he lost where his throne was, down in the Eden. God brought the land up, planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he created Adam and Eve. He gave Adam the authority over the earth. Satan watched them, I don't know how long, but he watched them, and through the woman, he attacked the man, and the man sinned following the woman. when he did, and the woman was deceived, Satan usurped authority over Adam's kingdom. Adam had a kingdom. He was to rule over the earth. He was to have, you want it a different way? He was to have dominion over the earth. Satan tempted him, and in his mind, through that power, he said, it goes to the victor. And he usurped authority over this earth. God has limited it and allowed it just in the atmosphere. He's the prince and the power, the first one of the air. Now, I haven't told the whole story. There's also war that's going on in the second heaven. That's in the book of Daniel. But he does have authority, which means what? He has the right or the privilege to act down here on earth as he has usurped authority. So over his children, we haven't gotten there yet, but we will in the next few verses, over his children, over this world system, over this present age that we're now in, he is the God of this age. He's the ruler of the world system. And what's one of the things we can tell from this section? He regulates, as having this power, this authority to act, he, according to, he regulates the lifestyle of unsaved people to a point in a certain manner. We haven't got to the next verses. The next verses are going to talk about the sin nature, and we have to discuss that. But there's more to this yet. So, anyway, any questions? I'm sure my time's up. Okay. All right. No class next Tuesday. Will be a class on the 30th. Okay. Father, thank you for the fact that we can recognize this. We can see that as we look at unsaved people, we see them in their religiosity. We see them in their lifestyles. And there's all different forms and all different kinds. And they work and they move around. But ultimately, we can see that that lifestyle that's being regulated is regulated according to this age of this world system, quality of this world system. And ultimately, they're under Satan. Father, thank you for saving us from this. Thank you that it's all of grace. Thank you that we can direct faith at your promises and continue to appropriate that grace that we have in Christ. Thank you that we don't have to have a lifestyle any longer that is regulated by this age, that is of the quality of this world, but we can have a lifestyle that is because of the indwelling Trinity and because we have our mind in our position in Christ. We thank you for this in his name. Amen. Okay.